Should a child be able to choose their own gender identity? One TV host's opinion on that went viral earlier this summer and has more recently drawn lots of backlash. In an appearance on the Candace Owens Show back in June, Mario Lopez called it, quote, dangerous for parents to let their kids choose their own gender identity.
I just think it's dangerous as a parent to make that determination then, okay, well, then you're going to be a boy or a girl, whatever the case may be. And it's sort of alarming. And my gosh, I just think about the repercussions later on.
Right.
And
Lopez has three kids under the age of 10 and has since apologized. And in a statement said his comments were, quote, ignorant and insensitive, and that he will use this opportunity to better educate himself. Well, let's bring in someone who studies this issue, Dr. Diane Ehrensaft, a developmental and clinical psychologist who's author of the book, The Gender Creative Child, Pathways for Nurturing and Supporting Children Who Live Outside Gender Boxes. She's on Skype. Dr. Ehrensaft, what is your reaction to Mario Lopez's comments and then his apology?
My reaction, having heard both the comments and the apology, is it really warms my heart to know that somebody could say something, recognize that they hadn't really learned yet what it's all about, and then learned and is now committed to educating other people. And I think that's wonderful. And I want to thank him for being able to do that. And I think it tells all of us how we all can change about what we thought we knew about gender to learning something new about gender and then using it to make sure that there's room for kids of all genders.
Well, and you're the expert on this, so educate all of us about this. What is the age at which you should take the word of a small child when they tell you that their gender is what they say it is?
I would probably amend your question to say, at what age should you listen? Which is a little different than taking the word, because that often implies then you just do whatever someone tells you to. So our job is to really listen to the children. And if they're trying to tell us something very important about their gender, like, hey, you all got it wrong, this doesn't fit for me, the important thing is to take it seriously. And then to find out what it means. And if it does mean that we all got it wrong and this child is not the gender who everybody thought they were, then we need to think seriously about doing something for that child. That child isn't saying, I'm making a choice. That child is trying to tell us something very profound about who they're discovering they are and how it doesn't work when people treat them as the person that they know they're not.
And I imagine that for some parents, that would be very difficult to do, even just to take that first step and listen to their child when they say that, because the parent may think, well, what my child is telling me is going to make their life much more difficult than it would be if they just were the gender that I thought they were before.
I would absolutely agree that from a parent's perspective, this is not a walk in the park, because we don't live in a world that is yet accepting as it should be for people of all genders. And we're working on that to make it better. And also because there's a learning curve here. Most of us never learned that the gender you are isn't necessarily what's designated on your birth certificate as F or M. So we have to develop what we call gender literacy to find out what does that mean. So I think we do a disservice when we assume that parents take a child at their word and the next day say, okay, all done, you'll be that gender. It's a journey. It's not a point in time. And there's a lot of thorns along the way and the path of that journey that we want to both support the kids and the parents with.
How common is it for a child as young as three to verbally express that they feel that their gender is different than they thought it was before?
It is happening all the time. Why? Not because there's something new in the drinking water. We lifted the lid to allow the kids to come out from under the rocks and really begin to speak up about who they are. So we are learning that many children are letting us know that they have what we call a much more expanded view of gender than we do, and that they would like us to pay attention to what they're telling us.
Now, in this conversation with Mario Lopez, conservative commentator Candace Owens said she doesn't believe a child can determine their own gender because they don't have the, quote, mental authority to do so. And then she gave this example from her own childhood, explaining a tomboy phase that she went through in the fifth grade.
So we'd wear like baggier pants, the cargo pants were in, and I tried to make my voice a little bit deeper. One year, went to middle school and everything was fine, you know. It was just a phase. And I hadn't gone through puberty yet. Like, you can't make a decision about your sexuality when you're 3 years old. I was in fifth grade.
Well, that's just it. I don't think you're...
What do you make of that line of reasoning?
It's a good line of reasoning for herself, but it doesn't pertain here at all. First of all, your sexual identity has nothing to do with your gender development. Yes, some people may go through different iterations about doing their gender in one way or another, and we want to give that time to unfold. But there's another group of people saying, I do know from both my brain, my mind, and kids often say in my heart about who I am, and that's called your gender identity. And that can happen at a very young age. When I went to school, what I learned is that a young child by age 3 should know, and by 6 should be really sure about it. So what I ask is, how is that okay just for some children where the gender they know themselves to be matches the sex designated at their birth, and then the other group of kids where they say it's different, why can't they know too? Isn't that a double standard that one group of kids can know but the other kids could never know or have the authority to know?
What about the idea of phases, people that go through phases?
It's very interesting you ask the question about phases. And when I train pediatricians, because they are often the first point person with a little child in a family where the child is trying to say something about their gender. And I have counseled pediatricians to get rid of the word phase because we're hoping they'll grow out of it, like terrible twos. And that's a very negative attitude towards a child who's trying to say, I'm gender diverse or gender expansive or gender creative. So what we say instead is that gender is a lifelong journey, and you might go through different iterations. And so what we're looking for is not whether it's a phase or not a phase, but is there something that we call insistent, persistent, and consistent in a little child or an older youth telling us the same message over and over about the gender? Are they telling us, I'm not the gender you think I am? Or are they simply telling us, like in the example of being a tomboy, for the time being, I don't like your rules about how to do gender. So I don't want to dress that way. I don't want to wear my hair that way. And those two things also have to be separated.
Well, and when it comes to especially younger people making this statement about their gender, is there an influence coming in at all from the outside in your research? Do you find that the whole idea that somebody could be more diverse in their gender expression is because they know that that exists out in the world and they're learning about it and then discovering that maybe they are a different gender than they thought they were before?
That's a very good question, and it's often used to say this is a social fad. It is not that, but what we have is both a mirror and a feedback loop that goes like this. Children can now know what's going on inside them because somebody outside them is providing them with some mirrors where they can find themselves. And the mirrors are these new understandings of gender and many hues, and there's not just two. That resonates to their experience. The feedback loop is then they feed back into our cultural understandings of gender. But yes, I think that every single person's gender is an interweaving of nature, nurture, and culture in any direction, and that for each one of us, our gender has all three of those threads.
Dr. Aaron Seft, how did you get interested in studying this topic?
I did my doctoral dissertation on what at the time was called sexual socialization in preschool age children. I was a feminist of the 1960s and 70s and also worked in early childhood. And I wanted to demonstrate at the time that adults treated boys and girls differently even when they said they didn't. And at that time, on my horizon was nothing about transgender children. And I have had gender as been the center of all my work since then. And I think probably my most important student was my child. So in the 1970s, I had two children, a boy and a girl, and they fought over the tutus. So I had the personal experience as a parent of raising a little boy who did not like the gender rules of the time.
That is Dr. Diane Ehrensaft, who's a developmental and clinical psychologist. Her book is The Gender Creative Child: Pathways for Nurturing and Supporting Children Who Live Outside Gender Boxes. She's also the director of mental health at the UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital Child and Adolescent Gender Center. A lot of titles there for you, but thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you so much for having me.